Yeah. I said last week that as we approached Easter, we were going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, particularly following Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem. And I hope you can do this in your own time through this next few weeks as we approach Easter. Look through the Gospel of Luke. It's a great gospel, as we saw before. It's got great teaching in it, great parables that we've acted out the last couple of weeks, great stories that Jesus loved to tell. Lots of teaching from the book of Luke. But we're particularly focusing on Jesus' journey. Luke is showing us that following Jesus is a journey. And as with any journey, we need to be prepared, committed, ready to embrace new things, gaining knowledge and new understandings as we go, appreciating that as well as the many rewards we will gain, disappointments and challenges will also come. But all the while, we need to keep in the forefront of our mind that the final destination in this journey is well worth the effort and persistence. Jesus invites us, his disciples, to journey with him and wholeheartedly and unashamedly embrace his mission. Being a disciple right from the start means actively participating in his kingdom mission and making it our own. And hasn't Lisa just talked about that? All of you. She can see all of your mission here in this place. And you've got mission outside of here too. But we're actively participating in his kingdom mission and we're making it our own. God has always desired us to have great commitment to him, wholehearted commitment to him and his ways and his instructions. Do you remember what we read a bit earlier from Deuteronomy? God was saying, I want you to be committed, so committed to these laws, to these instructions I've given you. I want you to teach them to your children over and over. I want you to talk about them continually. I want you to tie them on your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. I want you to write my words on your doorposts and on your gates. That's a bit of a reminder for me. They're important, his words. Might have been written a long time ago. But he was constantly reminding his people because he knew that it was important. Unfortunately, time and time again, God's people have dismally failed to keep his laws and to live according to his ways. But the good news is that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to offer us new hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came with a mission, his mission to seek and to save the lost, to bring freedom and release to the outcasts and outsiders. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the questions I posed to us at the end of the service last week was, are you all in? Are you fully committed to this mission? Seeking and saving the lost, connecting others with the love of Jesus. That's our vision statement. It all fits in. We read earlier from Luke, Annie read earlier, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost or destroyed? Jesus is telling us that being his disciple comes with a cost. Hallelujah. It's not easy. But he says we must be willing to put aside our own wants and our own needs, our own desires, and to follow him. We should be prepared to endure hardships and difficulties, even if it means risking our own lives. Following Jesus isn't just a one-time decision. It's a daily commitment that requires dedication. Jesus also explains that while focusing on worldly things might bring temporary happiness, true fulfillment comes from following him. That's what he's trying to say. It's not about following the laws. It's about being fulfilled in what we do in our life. Because true fulfillment comes from following him. Jesus emphasizes that our spiritual well-being is more important than anything else. This teaching certainly challenges us to be fully committed to following Jesus, even when it means going against what society considers important. As we've talked about, Jesus' kingdom is upside down. It's countercultural. Jesus' teaching differs from what society usually values, which is comfort, looking after oneself above everything else. Well, Jesus is saying, I want you to give up your life and all those things that you want and desire and come and follow me. Because that's the best thing you can do. Do you believe that? Yeah. If you're not sure about it, then I'd urge you to think about it and to try it. Being a disciple might involve facing persecution and hardship, but the rewards of following him are totally worth it. Yes, Jesus wants followers who are all in, because he doesn't tolerate hypocrisy. And we just read some of what he said to the Pharisees. He rebuked them for their hypocrisy. He said that they were meticulous about cleaning the outside of cups and dishes, but inside they were full of greed and wickedness. He told them to clean the inside first, and then the outside would be clean as well. He criticized them for neglecting justice and the love of God and for seeking recognition and honor for others, from others instead. So they were neglecting justice and really loving God, and they were seeking recognition and honor for themselves. He said, I don't want that. I just want you to be real. I want you to be honest. I want you to love the unloved. That's what it's all about. Don't you get it? He urged them to focus on what was truly important, having a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's the important thing. And he urged them to show genuine love and compassion towards others, not just put on a show. In the earlier story of the Good Samaritan that we acted out, why do you think Jesus made the Samaritan a hero? Samaritans were despised and considered total outsiders by the Jews. Once again, he was challenging their prejudices. He was wanting to teach the true meaning of being a good neighbour. He would challenge us all today. Being right with God is not just about following rules. It's about showing love and mercy to all, regardless of race, religion, or background. The story of the Good Samaritan helping, transporting, and paying his very own money to help a stranger and a Jew at that, despite all the risks to him and the inconvenience, it teaches us a profound message of love and compassion. Go back and read that story through the week. Ask God to help you understand it more. The importance, and to teach you about love and compassion, real love and compassion. Don't just pretend that you love others, really love them. That's what the Bible says. I can't remember the exact verse, but that I remember that. Don't just pretend, really love them. That's what he was trying to say. And at the end of that story, Jesus concluded with a challenge to the man who was asking him the question, who's your neighbour? Who is my neighbour? And Jesus said to him, who do you think was the neighbour to the man who was beaten up? And he said, oh, the Samaritan guy. And Jesus said, well, go and do the same. That's a challenge in itself, isn't it? And that's a further challenge for all of us today. Go and do the same. How does society see Christians in the church today? I talked about this in the last church council meeting that we had. I was watching something on TV. It was a modern drama that was portraying the church, and I was quite horrified. But how does the society out there, how do people see the church? It concerns me. And I looked up some of the things that society would say about the church, that it's irrelevant, that it's out of touch with modern values, it's hypocritical, it's judgmental, it's intolerant. They're horrible things to hear, but that's what people out there are thinking. I believe that we need to actively seek to change the way that people see the church. Especially in this community where we're at, we need to actively seek to change the way people see the church. And we're already doing a great job with our mums and bubs, with our op shop, with the things that we have. We're already trying to do that. But we can do more. We want more ideas and more thoughts and more challenges, because people need to see that the church is here for them. We're just ordinary people, flawed people, loved by God, trying to do a mission for Him in the very best way that we can. We need to reconnect with our communities in new and creative ways. If you've got some thoughts about how you think we can connect with our community in new and creative ways, then come and see me or someone else, one of the other leaders in the church. We need to be seen. Not shrinking back. Over the years, the church has shrinked back into its little shell, little club. But no, we need to be seen. We need to be out there. You know, Jesus took that tough and painful road to the cross for everyone, for all the people who need to see it. Everyone needs to hear the message. And this Easter, I'm hoping that we can share this message even more. Everyone needs to hear the message. Our mission is more relevant than ever. And it's not intolerant, it's quite the opposite. It's all inclusive. So Jesus challenges all of us today. He challenges us to know the mission, to live the mission in everything that we do. He challenges us to get cleaned up from the inside out. He challenges us to love Him with all that we have and to determine to love others unconditionally. So, my prayer for all of us is that we will humble ourselves before Him. We will humble ourselves for service, and we will seek justice and mercy for all. As the Good Samaritan did, let's get down beside those who've fallen and help them up. I pray that we would have generous and giving hearts. I pray that we would be all in for Him. Amen.